What kills many drug users are overdoses. But if the drug's heroin, there is an antidote. It's called naloxone and is usually given by injection. But in what seems to be a world first, an Australian trial has shown the feasibility and effectiveness of replacing the naloxone injection with a spray up the nose. The results have significant flow-on implications. For instance, the antidote could be given by non-health professionals, and indeed the nose could become a very handy route for other hitherto injected medications, such as pain relievers for women in labour. The people involved in the intranasal naloxone study included Dr. Deborah Kerr and Associate Professor Paul Dietz, both at Monash University in Melbourne.
We did the study because there's a lot of interest in minimising bloodborne virus risk for people when they are treating heroin overdose, because we know that intravenous drug users have higher prevalence of bloodborne viruses such as hepatitis C and HIV. And so people who administer drugs to injecting drug users are therefore at risk of contracting these viruses, especially if they come into contact with blood. And the key thing of administering via the nose is that we can eliminate the use of needles.
And is it common practice for ambulance people and so on to give reversal medications like naloxone to people on the scene?
In most parts of Australia, it is possible to have ambulance administer naloxone. In some parts of the country, they administer only a small amount and then transport to hospital. And in emergency departments, they certainly do administer naloxone for reversal.
And just tell me a little bit about intranasal naloxone.
Well, basically what happens is you draw up the naloxone from an ampule and you draw it up into a normal syringe, and then you put on the end of that syringe what's known as a mucosal atomizer device, or MAD device for short. And then one depresses the syringe as if one were to inject via a needle. As the fluid is passing through the MAD device, it atomizes and then is absorbed by the nasal mucosa.
So, Deb, tell me what you did in this study.
We basically had six branches of Metropolitan Ambulance Service who recruited patients for the study. The paramedics opened up envelopes at the scene, which determined if the patient was getting intramuscular or intranasal naloxone. And then we compared the outcomes for the patients.
And what were the results?
We found that around 82% of patients woke up basically after the initial dose of intranasal naloxone. But clinically, there was little difference between the intramuscular and intranasal.
And did anybody die having the intranasal?
No, nobody died in either groups, in either study.
So this was intranasal versus intramuscular?
That's right.
What about needle stick injuries?
None were reported in either study. That doesn't mean they didn't happen, but they weren't reported.
This sounds a bit fiddly. Is this actually harder to do than give an injection, Deb?
In its current format, it's probably as equally fiddly as intramuscular. There is a potential that if the intranasal solution could be prepared as like an aerosol spray, say like Ventolin, it would be a lot easier than intramuscular.
And what did the ambulance officers think about using it?
They preferred it. They like not having to use needles.
I hear that you're doing this in other settings, Deborah.
Paramedics in Western Australia are using intranasal fentanyl to treat painful conditions.
So that's a bit like a morphine-like drug.
That's right, yeah. It's an opiate like morphine and pethidine. And I'm working with nurses at Sunshine Hospital, and they want to administer intranasal fentanyl to women who are in labour rather than giving intramuscular pethidine.
Where to from here, Paul?
In various parts of the world, naloxone has been distributed more widely amongst other population groups, so not just medical professionals, but also families of injecting drug users, as well as peers of injecting drug users. They are giving it out with needles involved. However, there has been a lot of interest registered in relation to the intranasal route, because it does do exactly as you say and eliminate the need for needles. And that's especially important in relation to people who aren't experts in administering injections, such as family, and also given the ease of administration in situations that are potentially an emergency situation, it might also assist for peer administration.
So other drug users, for example.
Yeah, other drug users. And in those settings, it's been the programs have shown some promise in that reversals have taken place and it's known that they have been successful. One major issue, though, is the issue of bloodborne virus risk and the use of injections, and often it can get quite messy. And so the intranasal route really does hold much promise. And to that end, in New Mexico, they've moved to have the option of intranasal administration using the MAD device that we used in our studies. It's my understanding also that in other parts of the US they're looking to the intranasal route via this MAD device. And it should be said that it's on the basis of this Australian work that they are making these decisions.
So you were among the first in the world to use this?
This is, to our knowledge, the first randomised controlled trial of intranasal versus intramuscular naloxone that's ever been conducted.
What are the barriers to actually getting more naloxone out there to save a few lives from overdoses?
Well, one of the key issues is legislative protection for those who administer the drug. So in various parts of the US, they have actually enacted effectively Good Samaritan legislation to protect those third parties who actually administer the drug to the person involved. And that gives them protection from any potential legal implications if the treatment doesn't work for some reason. And it is possible that the treatment won't necessarily work in all occasions.
So in other words, if you've got a good intent, you can't get sued if the person dies anyway.
Essentially, yeah.
Is naloxone a risky drug to use?
No, it's not. The good thing about naloxone is that it really has very limited impact if the person hasn't had opiates. There is a little bit of indication that it does affect people who have had alcohol, but realistically it has very little impact on individuals, and there's very little indication that naloxone distributions had any negative impact. One of the good things is that, and we need to keep this in mind, is that any wider distribution program needs to be undertaken in the context of a significant amount of training for the person who's going to administer the drug. And so most of the programs that have been implemented around the world have actually involved significant amount of training. So, for example, in Berlin, the program involved a good 2.5-3 hour session with a medical practitioner who explained the whole basis of what an overdose is and how to respond, and how to respond using naloxone. And indications from that program are that the peers in this case were able to recognise the signs of overdose properly and did not administer naloxone inappropriately at overdoses where, say, cocaine was involved or other drugs were involved than heroin. And so people can actually learn to administer this in the field.
Paul Dietz is at the Burnet Institute, and Deborah Kerr is Deputy Director of the Joseph Epstein Centre for Emergency Medicine Research, both in Melbourne.